Welcome to The Media Matters. You're on with Chantel Keene. I have my fantastic hosts, co-hosts with me, Marie Rose and Lily Fear Fire. What's your name today?
Lily Orks.
All right. Thank you guys for joining us. And today we're going to be talking about protecting yourself and what you're going to be protecting yourself from. And that is different kinds of attacks, psychic attacks. And that could be from what, you guys? It's from people. It could be from low energies, such as earthbound spirits and the D word, the demons, ghosts.
Scary.
Mm-hmm. All kinds of goodies. So to get us started, let's talk a little bit about what these attacks are. So I think all of us might have some experience, or by all of us, I'm referring to myself and my co-hosts. We might have some experience with this. And I personally have experience with what is called a hitchhiker, which is someone I brought back with me that leached onto me during a meditation. And I went to a place where I wasn't fully protected and didn't see this being latch onto me. And, you know, we're energy beings, and that's incredibly attractive to the spirit world. And the earthbound energies that are, not all of them, but some of them are here by choice because they enjoy the fruits of humankind, alcohol and sex and all kinds of stuff. So they want nothing more than to latch onto you and take what you've got. So there's a lot of different kinds of attacks out there, and it can come from people. And I've heard and I've read that often those attacks are not intentional, and it could be in the form of someone thinking of you in a negative way. It comes from jealousy and envy and all of those things, and you suddenly find yourself feeling tired and exhausted mentally and physically and grouchy and all kinds of stuff. It runs the gamut. So do you guys want to talk a little bit about some of your experiences with these attacks?
Sure. Yeah. I didn't really know that I was attacked until we went to a Reiki share with our teacher. And in thinking about getting excited about what was happening that weekend, that we were all going to be together, I just, you know, would think about the class and her face would come to mind, and I just had this thought of sort of wanting to attack her, like hurt her. And I thought that was weird. And so one of the things that she taught us was to see if you can look in the mirror and look in your eyes. Can you look yourself in the mirror to see if you're possessed or inhabited or some type of, more than a hitchhiker, someone hanging out with you, but sort of. So I did. I looked myself in the eyes. It's really funny. I was like, okay, I'm just having some weird random daydream kind of thing. And then right before, I had forgotten all about it by the time we were together, and right before the class started, I went to the bathroom and I looked at myself in the mirror. And when I did, I thought, oh yeah, I can look in my eyes. It's not now. And ooh, you know what? I need to tell her. And so I did. I came out and tell her. She goes, oh, we're going to put you on the table first. And then really that was when I figured out that something was going on. And I think there's a reason that I remembered and mentioned it to her, so that as I was working on other people, that wouldn't resonate or be there. But the physical part, I really only felt during the release. You guys were there. My body was shaking, and I was not doing that. It was happening.
I remember that.
that is my experience, but I don't remember feeling any particular way other than having that thought come up once or twice as I was thinking about the class. So that is unusual for me. I don't go around thinking about hurting my friends. Thank God. If I did, maybe then I would have, you know, wouldn't have noticed it. But so that it was an uncharacteristic thought that led me to remember and tell her and yeah, something's bigger is going on. You know, from there, in talking with the teacher and with you guys, I realized some of the things I was not doing to protect myself. Okay, and so it all of that is to come back to the point of protection, self-protection, and some of the ways I had been meditating and trying to clear chakras, I was thinking about them being open instead of open inward.
Right.
To the pillar of light, that kind of thing. So it was, I don't know, I have an idea of where it might have come from, but I don't know for sure. It doesn't really matter. The point is, I learned a lot about how to protect myself, to keep that protection up and to not take it for granted. Oh, I've cleared my house. I'm fine. There are definitely some other steps that need to be taken. And so this is real.
Mm-hmm. Very much. I do remember that session. And what Lily is talking about is we try to get together about once a quarter with our teacher, and the three of us have gone through Reiki together. Marie and I are advancing to level three now, and Lily has gone through level three, and she sits in with the rest of us and assists with some of the teaching and the practice work, etc. So what she's referring to is we get together about once a quarter and do what's called a Reiki share with our teacher. And we come together as a group, and it's just a meeting of the minds, really. We ask questions and we get to practice our Reiki techniques, and we learn some new things and talk about some things that are on our minds and some topics that our teacher might bring up, things that we haven't covered in a class per se. And so when we did that particular get together, I do remember you saying we took a bathroom break. We'd been sitting around the table talking, and she said, "All right, let's get started on some Reiki." And Lily said, "In the spirit of full disclosure, I got to tell you, XYZ is going on." Right. So she did get on the table, and our teacher was at her head working on her crown chakra and third eye and throat, and Marie and I worked the rest of her body. And I do remember I remember when we were at your hands,
mm-hmm.
and you know, tightening your hands, and then your hands went very stiff. Like,
oh yeah, girlfriend had the death grip.
Yes, initially, and then she flexed her hand out. I mean, your hand went arrow straight. I could not. I was like, what the hell's going on? And in the end, our teacher explained what was going on, and there had been a psychic attack imposed on you. Mm-hmm. And she said it most likely happened at work. And I don't know if to this day you figured out who it could have been, because you thought, well, if it did happen, it wasn't intentional. She said, oh no, this one was directed at you.
Yeah, I don't think it was anyone at work. I do have an idea of who it might have been. There's right. only one person at that time who would have, you know, in thinking about it. There, it's distant, but it doesn't matter. I can't control what they do. All I can control is what I do.
Exactly.
And so what I need to do is make sure that I have protection in place. And so I do much more
right.
Readily and consciously, and I think probably more consistently than I did before.
Absolutely. So can you tell us what was going on with the hands? Because I know Marie and I looked at each other, and the way we do it, for you guys that are not familiar with Reiki or having more than one person work on you during a Reiki session, when we have three people, we do have someone at the head that's working on the fifth, sixth, and seventh chakras typically, and the other two people work on chakras one through four and the rest of the body. So we are on opposite sides of the body, right side, left side. And so that's kind of how we work our way down. So when we were at your hands, do you remember what was going on?
I do remember the incident. I remember grabbing on, and then I knew that I felt like you guys, when you got to the hands, I felt like it was a lifeline for me. And so I remember wanting to grab your hands and hold on. What I think happened after that, the reason they went straight is because there was another urge to, what did Marie call it? The death grip? Mm-hmm. Yeah, to inflict. And so I went, no. I remember in my head, and I was face down, which is not usual for what we were doing at the time. But I remember thinking no and fighting. And that's when my hands went rigid because I was not going to grab harder.
Yeah, if I remember right, you said you were afraid you were going to hurt us.
Yes, because exactly. So, you guys, her words, and I don't remember if this is exact, but it was something along the lines of, my thought was grab and twist. Oh, no, squeeze and twist.
That sounds about right.
So I was like, what the? Friend, thank you for not doing that.
So I think that's the reason for the stiff hands. It was
yes,
fighting.
Yes.
Not any extra sensory thing happening. It was just...
No, that was
that's the first time everything else was just happening. That is when I started fighting.
That's incredible. And it was just an inkling you had of something's not quite right. And then it turned into, hey, you've been attacked. And it happens all the time. I mean, not to you. It happens every day to many people.
Sure.
It does. So it does happen in other forms. And I know, well, I can't say I know. There are times when I'm just feeling off. And I know typically I'm pretty chill and happy. And when suddenly I'm not feeling that way and I feel the polar opposite of that, I know something's up. And so I really do question that stuff. So Marie, for you, your experience was vastly different. What happened in your case?
Well, I was feeling, I was just not right. I was feeling sluggish. I wasn't having good thoughts. I didn't want to get out of bed. It was almost like a bout of depression. And, you know, I've been depressed in the past and I've gotten over it. So I recognize that feeling. And, but I couldn't pinpoint what was wrong. So I called our teacher and I remember thinking I need to have a session with her. But I had a cost in my head of, you know, what she charged. And I didn't have the money at the time. So I just remember thinking, say, okay, if I need to have a session with her, the money will appear. Well, turns out she had lowered the price of the session. It didn't cost what I thought it was. And the money appeared within 24 hours. There was somebody who had
intervention,
right? Somebody who had owed me money and they paid me. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is exact. Okay. So we set it up and she looked at me and she goes, there is something wrong. She said I had like a gray aura. She spotted it immediately. I'm like, yeah, I feel like crap. I just didn't. And it's interesting what she said about looking in the mirror, because I would look up in the mirror and I'd look away.
Really?
But I didn't know that was a symptom until your episode.
Right.
So in previous to that, in one of my meditations, I had gotten a vision of this thing. It was like the Geico lizard, except he had sharp teeth. And I have no idea what that was, but I remember writing it in my meditation journal and things like that. And so we had our session, and even though I didn't feel like she was physically touching me, I felt like it something painful was happening. I mean, my left side, it's like she was just pulling on. I mean, I feel like my left side was physically leaving the table. And it was an experience I'll never forget. And when it was all said and done, she didn't even speak to me. She went straight to a little small whiteboard and drew what she saw was basically latched onto the left side of my body. And she said it was huge. It was about the size of my thigh. And she drew the picture of the little Geico guy with big teeth, except she saw the body as well. It was like a tadpole body. And I told her, you know, about the meditation, and I brought my journal with me. And going back on the timeline and looking at the calendar, we think that I picked something up when I was in New Orleans. And it was, I mean, I thought I had protected myself, but I was just learning about protection. I just had a couple of stones in my pocket, and I thought I was good to go. But I could, you know, I could feel things around me in New Orleans, you know, because there's a lot of trapped energy there. And something just small just latched onto me, and it just grew over time, and it was literally just sucking the energy out of me, just literally sucking the energy out of me.
Yeah. Wow. Which to me is proof positive that these beings are incredibly attracted to our energy, and that's mm-hmm. how they thrive.
Yeah. She says for the first time she hardly ever has to call for help, but for the first time she had to call in Archangel Michael to come cut some of those cords, because he wasn't leaving.
Well, he grew into a beefy bastard too.
Yeah, she said he looked up at her and just kind of dug in, like,
right,
you know, it's
like my meals on wheels, I'm not leaving.
Exactly. But I was exhausted. I slept for like 2 days after that.
I remember
but then
that.
I felt so good. It's like, this is what I'm supposed to feel like. Right. This is my normal.
And you know. Yeah. You know the difference.
Yeah. I remember I left there, got in my car, and called Chantel. And I'm like, I had a hitchhiker. Oh my gosh.
And I said, what the hell is that?
See, we learn with each other.
Yeah. So now I make more of an effort to protect myself. I know additional steps to take, and
right, and you have to go through those things in order to know, because otherwise
it was definitely a learning experience.
Yes, because otherwise we would be bop around with a stone or two and think, you know, oh, I prayed a week ago, I'm good.
Right.
But it's not enough.
Right.
It's definitely not enough. So some of the things I've had a few different experiences. One of mine was somewhat, is that I also had a hitchhiker, and this was from a meditation. Like I said earlier, that I travel a lot in meditation. I go to many, many places, and in the beginning, obviously, being inexperienced and not knowing the difference of where I should and shouldn't be and how to properly protect myself, which, you know, is the theme of the night. I did pick somebody up and brought them back with me. And one of the things that I have been dealing with is some, you know, some pain in the body. And Lily knows, because I've seen her and she's helped me with massage many, many, many times. And oh my God, am I grateful, because it's always so helpful. And I had done a couple of meditation sessions where I did purposely intend to cut cords. And we'll talk a lot about that a little bit later in the episode. But I did the intention of cutting cords, thinking that perhaps this pain was somewhat related to something that I was dragging around spiritually, in one of my bodies. And so I did two successful sessions like that with Archangel Michael, who is a protector, and asked him if he would do that, perform that for me and cut those cords, and then called in Archangel Raphael to heal those wounds and to replace those negative energies with positive energy and healing energy, etc. And those were incredible meditation sessions that I had, because I, like you said, Marie, when you had that session with our teacher, that one-on-one, this one-on-one that I had with the two archangels, I could feel pain in my knee, like my right knee, I if I recall correctly, and it was like something was being pulled up and out.
Exactly.
And it was, you know, it was not incredibly painful, but enough so that I could feel in my meditation that I was wincing. In any event, so when I went to see her to do a similar session with her, a one-on-one, I told her about these cord cuttings that I had done. And it I will tell you that the pain had been reduced easily, I mean, by 90%. I felt so good after those two sessions. You know, the first session, I probably felt 70 to 75% better. By the second, I was easily at like 90%. And then it started to creep back in. And so it was at that point that I went to see her and really to, you know, try to figure out what the source of that pain was. And, you know, ultimately she said, it doesn't really matter what the source is. If it's, you know, from a past life, from this life, it really doesn't matter. Let's figure out what's, you know, what's going on right now. And at the end of that session, she also said that I had a hitchhiker and told me that it was, you know, from somewhere that I had traveled in one of these meditations that I did. And so that was a little bit discouraging because I thought, you know, that I was doing so well and really grounding and protecting and getting in there and, you know, look at me travel and all these, you know, great places I'm going and all the guides and angels and whoever that I'm meeting. And so, you know, it was discouraging to the point where I didn't meditate for a little while. It definitely knocked me off my box and I had to, you know, get myself together again. But all that to say, I don't really recall having anything go on where I felt different. It really, for me, my focus was, I've got this pain. How do I get rid of it? Like, what is the root of this so I can fully get rid of it? So the end lesson being that, you know, you do have to protect. And some of these things, like, you know, that pain that I've dealt with, it's, you know, it's there for a reason. I still don't know what the reason is, and I may never know. Is it for teaching? Is it for, you know, do I need to do a past life regression or several? Who knows at this point? But, you know, ultimately, it really is all about protecting and knowing what the signs are, how to know if you're under attack, if you've been attacked, and what to do about it. So let's talk a little bit about that. So we know that, you know, we talked a little bit about some of the things that we felt. Like Marie, you were saying you were so exhausted and it's out of character for you. And, you know, we don't do cartwheels at work. We're not, you know, running through fields every day. But we do know how we typically feel. And like I said, I'm a really chill person. I'm generally very happy and I laugh a lot. And so when I am not that way, and I feel cranky or extra tired or, you know, any of these things, then I do start to think about where have I been, who have I been with, what have I exposed myself to. And it's not always just people. It's TV shows and books and, you know, physical places. And, you know, it's all kinds of things. So what are some of your experiences, symptom-wise? You know, what have you learned from these experiences and from that of, you know, other people's stories in terms of what to look for, how to know that you're under attack or that you have been attacked? Like, you know, I'm saying that I do, you know, I recently had this experience where for an entire weekend, I was in the worst mood. I mean, the worst mood, and out of nowhere, for no good reason, and the smallest thing would set me off. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? So not like me. But in the moment, you know, I would kind of come out of it a little bit and then jump right back in. And I mean, little things like someone's driving would drive me insane. And the thoughts I would have, I'm like, what is going on? So it's that kind of stuff where I didn't immediately think about it, but looking back, I'm like, oh yeah, something was definitely up. So for you guys, what are some of those things?
Well, for me, I mean, I'm a social butterfly. I mean, I'm out and about, you know, multiple nights a week, you know, with friends and whatnot. And for me, it was, I didn't want to be around anybody.
Right.
I didn't want to get out of bed. I just wanted to curl up in a ball and just lay here, just not do a thing. And that's not me.
Right.
You know, I wake up in the morning and I think about the cool things I get to do that day, you know, and get out of bed and get going. And, I mean, even if it's a little thing, even if it's, ooh, I get to sit in my recliner for 2 hours and drink tea and surf Pinterest, you know, let me get up and brush my teeth.
But
know?
Something that makes your soul happy.
Yeah. Right. It's like, yay. You know, or whatever. It's, you know, ooh, I'm getting up tonight and I'm having dinner with my friends, or ooh, mm-hmm. I'm getting up tonight and I'm hanging out with my besties and doing a podcast. You know, there's
I imagine always... you're referring to us every time you say those things.
You know, so but then, and that's how I wake up in the morning, and when that's not there, I know something's right. up.
It's like somebody turns the sun off.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, yes.
The sunshine pisses me off. You know what I mean? Like,
and there's your sign.
Right. Like, it's stuff that's so out of character for you. And I don't know if it's, you know, somebody that's typically grumpy, if they suddenly find they're extra happy, does that mean they've been attacked? I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't either. That's a good one.
Are they like extra pissed off? I'm not sure.
Right.
We'll have to find someone. I don't know anyone like that. Thank God. I just don't.
I think the important thing with all of that, with what you guys were saying and with what I said about the only thing I really felt was, you know, that thought I had about hurting someone who I consider a friend and would never normally have those kind of thoughts.
Yeah, because that's totally not you.
Yeah, definitely.
You are the most giving, loving person. And for you to have
I don't
to
know.
Have those thoughts, know. I'm like, what?
Ted Bundy.
No. But I think what's important is that there's recognition. There's being aware, because I think sometimes it can go for so long with people who don't realize these kinds of things are happening. So that's what I think with all of us, that there was a recognition, oh, wait a minute. And that's the first step.
Right. I agree. I absolutely agree with that. And it is hard sometimes to see that, because you're just feeling a certain way. Like I said, that, you know, that weekend I had not too long ago, and, you know, in the thick of it, I didn't stop to think what's going on, or, well, I think I did have that thought, but I wasn't thinking in terms of, you know, where have I been? Where did I pick this up? Because it's so unusual. So some of the symptoms that you might feel if you have been attacked or are currently under attack, and, you know, not all inclusive, but it could be things like a sudden stomach ache, nausea, pain in the chest, the shoulders, the back. You could get a throbbing headache, feeling disoriented all of a sudden, crankiness, irritability, which... that seems to be a big one for me. I just am pissed off at pencils. Like, there's no rhyme or reason. You feel angry and on edge. Like there's a cloud over you, a heavy cloud or a heavy weight. You feel worried, guilty, anxious, and that stuff interrupts your day. There's coughing or choking where there previously wasn't any. Tightness in the chest, like you feel like you can't breathe. You don't sleep well, or you don't sleep at all. You have disturbing dreams, or see things that you wouldn't ordinarily see, kind of disturbing visions. Any kind of addictive behavior you have could potentially get worse. you have unusual fights with people you wouldn't ordinarily fight with.
When you're pissed off at pencils.
Right, right. You're like, turn off the damn sunshine. You're impatient. You feel out of sorts. You're testier than usual. Unusually angry. You're depressed. You overeat. There's mood swings. I mean, the list goes on and on. You could hear voices. You could feel incredibly fatigued like Marie did. You could have paralysis where you wake up from sleep and you can't move and you're like, what the heck is going on? And that's happened to me many times. And it is the most unsettling feeling. And because of that, I no longer sleep on my back because it only happens when I'm sleeping on my back.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yes. Only ever happens when I'm on my back. And I feel very aware of everything around me, but in my mind, I am struggling, like willing my body to move and to, and I know something's up.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm.
It's so crazy.
Yeah, that would be awful.
Mm-hmm. We're really good friends, but you guys are going to learn a whole lot more. Oh yeah, a whole lot of stuff. So a lot of different things can go on. Those are just some of the symptoms that you guys might feel. Obviously, not all inclusive, but some of the things that we have done that you can do to get rid of that attack, to cut it and to protect yourself. I mean, it's a laundry list. There's really so many things you can do. And for me, one of the things I always say is find something that makes your soul happy and do that. Obviously, not at the expense of someone else. Like if it makes you happy to cut someone's hair at random, please don't do that because I don't think they're gonna like that. Or, you know,
I thought you were gonna say cut their head off.
No, we do not promote violence here. But you know, there's a lot of different things that you can do. I just a few nights ago, I was just feeling I the day started very well, and as the day progressed, I started to notice that I felt off. I was tired. I was easily agitated. And by the time the day was over, I mean, I think my husband and I may have bickered a little bit and it was all my doing. And, you know, like, and he is the calmest, even tempered person. I mean, I don't even know what to compare him to. Maybe a stuffed animal, like just very, very chill.
Very even keel.
Yes, very. And so to rough him up, it takes a lot. And I mean, he wasn't roughed up, but he really sometimes will look at me like, what the hell's wrong with you? And it's, you know, and now I can just say someone's attacking me. So what I did that night, I recognized it. And before I got home, I already knew when I get home, I don't care what state the house is in. I'm not going to worry about it, but I am going to break out my sage and smudge the house and smudge myself and the dogs and the husband and you name it. It got some smoke. And I will tell you, I walked through the entire house, said a prayer while I did, and had a really good smoke going on that sage. And when I was done and did my last Reiki symbol to close out my session, I took a deep breath and just exhaled and didn't realize that perhaps for most of the day I had been shallow breathing and really holding in some stuff. And our home felt so good, so peaceful. And it was, you know, early evening. And so the sun as it's setting, I mean, streamed in beautifully through the windows, and I had some nice, I ended up turning on some meditation music, just some nice background. I mean, it felt so good. I have never been happier to do dishes in my life.
Excellent.
Yeah, like everything just felt so good and calm, and I'm like, okay, this I can get down with. But, you know, it's things like that. Like, you really have to be aware, and the more it happens to you, hopefully the more you can recognize the signs and not remain in that state where you don't know what the heck is going on and how you got there. So what are some of the things you guys like to do to protect, to get rid of something like that when you feel it coming on or when you realize that you're in the thick of it, and then to prevent it?
Well, for prevention, like when I'm going out and I know I'm going to an area that where I might pick something up, because I haven't stopped going out. You know, I still like to go out and listen to music and hang out with my friends and whatnot. Is using white Angelica on my feet and behind my knees, and there's that the other oil that you had mentioned.
Oh, you use it as an oil?
Yes.
Okay. The essential oil.
Yes, the essential oil. And there was another one that Lily...
Frankincense?
Yeah, the frankincense, but there was another company as well.
Oh, that has like a similar, yes, something similar to white Angelica.
Right. Okay. And so I'll do that. I wear amethyst. I'll wear an amethyst bracelet, amethyst necklace. I see, you know, I have a lot of stones for protection. I'll pick a couple of those out and bring them with me. I envision a white light around me, like a white cylinder, a white egg,
right?
A pearlescent white shield around me. I'll particularly do that before I even, if I go, like into a rock shop of any kind.
Yes.
Because there's been times where I've walked in there and the energy in there is so strong. I mean, I just get a headache just being in there.
Any kind of metaphysical space.
Exactly. So
very charged.
Ground my center, ground, protect before I even walk in the door. And that has helped.
That's awesome.
Tremendously.
Yeah. Those are a lot of my go-tos. How about for you, Lily?
A lot of them are the same. I think when I'm my best when I have a routine. So when I ground and center in the morning and meditate and ground and center in the evening, then I sort of feel like I can handle whatever comes up. It's sort of like there is a shield. It sort of bounces off. And when something does come up, full disclosure, I'm a reformed gamer. Used to play online games, and the character I would always go to was a cleric, a healer, a priestess, and the character inevitably gets a shield that's, you know, to protect herself while you're healing others. And so that's what I imagine is this shield that comes up, and it comes from within. It's a white light that starts in the center in my heart space and then expands as big as I need it to. And it's got sort of that, like Marie was saying, that shimmery glow. And I know some of the game images come to mind too with the way it's sort of razzly-dazzly looking, but it works. It works really, really well for me. Mm-hmm. But again, getting into a habit of grounding and centering in the morning, and I just imagine the chakras coming together, the different bodies coming together, and all the chakras opening to the center, to the pillar of light. That is probably the thing that I do for the most prevention. And then, like Marie said, if you know that you're going somewhere, I randomly look at stones that I have and who wants to come today? And sometimes I leave it up to the stone. Sometimes I choose. Sometimes I look and decide. Sometimes I don't take any, but if I'm just doing my day-to-day stuff, but if I know I'm going out, if I know I'm going somewhere, if I ever go to New Orleans again, if that's a big if, then I will definitely have everything I possibly can. That place scares me.
Oh yeah. And it's a good practice no matter where you're going. New Orleans does have a lot of energy. There's so much history there, which is magnificent. But it comes with, you know, its own set of things that you really need to protect against.
And the lower energies.
Right. And it's true for, I think, for any place. And you or we all have a tendency to absorb other people's energies. Their good moods, their bad moods. You know, empaths in particular, I'm not the strongest empath. I have a little bit of that ability, and I am incredibly grateful that I don't have it, because it's, you know, I think it's fantastic for the people that do have it and know how to manage it, so it's not draining for them. But for me, it drains the crap out of me. So I'm glad that's not my strong suit. So you guys brought up a lot of really great points, things that you can do. One of the things that I think we all gravitate toward is the crystals, carrying crystals and using crystals in our homes. And I know right now I probably have a crystal in my wallet, my purse. There's one right in front of me, right under my right hand. I'm looking at a bag of crystals sitting between Maria Lily. I mean, they're everywhere. When we get together and we do Reiki sessions, no matter what space we're in, there are crystals in every corner. There is light in every corner. The space is cleared with sage and with prayer and with Reiki symbols. And I mean, we really just run through the list and make sure that we add layers and layers and layers of protection, because even when things are in a protected state, there can be gaps, and we with our energy can make room, we can leave space for things to get in. And I know we have been in Reiki sessions before where we have felt a lower energy. I've been in a meditation session before. In the room where I meditate, I have a mirror on the wall, and I, in one or two sessions, when I've been meditating, I have seen an energy form come out of that mirror, and I quickly send his ass right back because I'm like, no, sir, I protected that mirror, and the space is protected by my angels and the archangels and everybody. I call in the cavalry. So some of the things that you can do in order to protect and to rid yourself of these attacks and going forward, make sure that you are protected, is smudging, which is one of my absolute favorites. Salt is a really good one, and it's actually one of the first things that we learned about going through Reiki level one, because it does open you up in such a way that you become even more attractive with the new energy that you have. So one of the really big go-to, like, big gun clearings that we do is using Epsom salt and alcohol, and it's like 1:1 ratio, and we put that little mixture in like a little aluminum foil.
Little cup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a little aluminum foil cup inside of like a cauldron or a
mug, anything.
Fireproof. Right. And then with a match or a paper match, wooden match, whatever, you light it and you let that clear the air and really pull away those energies. And, you know, that gets balled up and you put that outside of your door, your front door, back door, whichever, and you
get it out of the house.
Yep. And you go room by room and you do that. And when I do that, and I actually need to do that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's been a while. But when I do that, I follow that with a smudge, and that's with your sage stick or, you know, any an herb of your choosing that would do something similar. And there's different stuff. There's cedar and...
Yeah, there's all kinds. I've even used the frankincense incense.
Right. You can use incense.
Yeah.
And it's the smoke and the intention. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all about the intention. So... you can do a lot of different things. The girls have mentioned protecting themselves with light, white light, blue light, whatever it is. And I do a lot of that too when I meditate and when I go into a metaphysical space or whatever it is. I make sure that I do protect myself in that light. And every night when I go to bed, I thank all of my angels and guides and everyone. And I immediately surround my home from front to back, top to bottom. I mean, like under the earth, everything, with a big bubble of light. And it's when I do that, I let spirit world choose like what that color will be. So I know that, you know, they know what's best for me and for my home and my family. So sometimes it's all the chakra colors, and sometimes it's just a couple or just one, or I've seen it shimmer. I've seen all kinds of really cool stuff, but I do that every single night, and I send that same bubble of protection to the homes of everyone I know and love, because, you know, you want everyone to be happy and protected. You can do meditation to strengthen your aura and to strengthen yourself.
So
you can fight against that stuff and work, through meditation, work with your angels and your guides and the archangels to help you and to give you the clarity you need to work through those things. Positive affirmation, positive thoughts. That stuff is always really good. It's uplifting. You want your soul to be happy. You want to eat a healthy diet. I heard somebody say in a podcast, perhaps, I don't remember, talking about food and the kind of things you want to go toward. And they were talking about fruit and how wonderful it is for your body and for all of your bodies to eat things that the sun has embedded itself in. Like, you're literally eating sunshine when you eat like an apple or an orange and that has always stuck with me, because I'm like, wow, it's like eating the sun.
Right.
And it makes you feel good. It's good for you for a reason. So what are some of the other things that you guys would recommend in terms of protection and getting rid of that stuff? Ooh, cord cutting. That's a really good one. Mm-hmm. Cord cutting. I forgot about that.
Well, you had mentioned the Epsom salts. One of my favorites is just a nice long soak in the bathtub.
Yes.
I throw in some Epsom salts. I throw in some lavender oil, and I just soak in there, and I do some self-reiki while laying in that hot water, and it's just wonderful, and I feel so relaxed when I'm done.
That's a really good one.
That I just feel fantastic.
Right.
How about you, Lily?
Another one that I thought of, I kept making the sign to you, is crossing your arms, crossing your legs.
Yes. Good one.
Another really good one. If you're sitting in meditation, you can cross your legs, and it sort of helps protect you
right
immediately and link your hands, or if you're in a meeting and you're around negative people, or if you're just standing and you're around negative people, just the simple act of crossing your arms. And it doesn't have to be hostile, but just crossing and holding your arms, or crossing your fingers, crossing your leg,
and that's for protecting your aura, is that right?
It's for your own protection. It puts this like Marie said, it puts the bubble, the egg,
a shield,
the egg shield around
It blocks. It blocks
instantly.
Yeah.
There's a reason that people whose arms are crossed aren't very approachable.
Right. Very true.
So it can be used as a stay away from me, but it can be used for protection.
Absolutely. So really quick, I want to run through some crystals. We've talked about the crystals that we like to have with us. And when we do our get-togethers and we do our Reiki sessions together, because we practice every week, or we try to anyway, we have a lot of selenite in the room. And selenite is fantastic for so, so many things. It really is like a go-to, like amethyst is a go-to. I mean, it'll do everything.
Absolutely.
So that is it's a huge favorite for all of us. And when I first got crystals of any kind, the crystals that I first had in my possession came with my smudge kit. And I ordered it from Amazon. And it was the bowl, the sage sticks, a feather to fan it out. And it came with, I want to say, 4 or 5 very small pieces of black tourmaline and one like palm size piece of selenite. With the purpose being, you clear your home and you put one piece of black tourmaline in each corner of your home. And that large piece of selenite goes on a windowsill in the room where you feel like you need the most protection. For me, that is my bedroom, because people love to communicate with me when I am trying to sleep. So that being said, I am a huge fan of those. I gravitate a lot toward dark colored stones. They are more on the protective side. So the hematite and jet and black obsidian, black tourmaline, all of those, I have quite a bit of those. And my next mission, or I have a couple, one is to take some of those and put them outside around the perimeter of our home. The other is to take some and put them above each doorway leading in and out of the home, the garage door, front door, back door, and on each windowsill. So it's going to get costly, but it's well worth it. So some of the stones that we can use for protection and for getting rid of some of this stuff is tiger's eye, which it's really great for neutralizing the effects of the evil eye. It's a golden crystal shield from manipulative psychic energies. It also disarms them at the source. Tiger's eye is a really cool one. I think we all might have that.
Oh, I love mine.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And there's so many different ones. I mean, I don't know. Crystals in general, they're just so beautiful. I could stare at them all day. And Marie was kind enough to bring back some crystals from the West Coast where she was just vacationing at. And incredible crystals. And I cannot say thank you enough because, you know, I love a crystal.
That guy saw me coming a mile off. It well, was thank God. So we much appreciate fun. It.
Thank God. Oh, you're welcome. I love crystal shopping. One of my absolute favorites is hematite. And this crystal strengthens your shield. It even looks like armor because it really does. I mean, when you look at it, it has like a metallic surface. It's very cool. And I, a few weeks ago, bought a hematite ring to wear at all times. And the only time I don't have it on is when I'm asleep. And maybe that's when I should wear it the most. Because people just love to bother me. Last night was one of those nights. I had the roughest night of sleep because it was just, in any event.
So what stones do you have in your room?
I have selenite. Uh-huh. I have, I think, two large pieces of selenite in my room. I have black tourmaline, and then I on occasion will select one or more crystals to keep on my nightstand. For a period of time I slept with amethyst in the pocket of my pajama top and in my pillowcase. I even had a grid under my mattress on my side of the mattress because I went through a period of time where I was not sleeping well, and Lily knows this. I talked to her about it and she was doing my massages and I'm like, I don't know what the heck is going on. And in any event, it did help me, the amethyst. And I mean, I went nuts on amethyst. I think there were four under my mattress, two in my pillowcase, two in my pajama top. There were some stones on the nightstand. And it did help. So I don't always have those in my room, but the selenite and the black tourmaline, I always, always have.
How about you, Lily?
Mine, in my room, I have a lot of stones on the windowsill in the bathroom because mm-hmm. that's where the moonlight comes in. And I've just started keeping them there. I'm not sure they'll all fit now. I'll have to do something else. But, in my room, I mostly have, selenite. I have it gridded. I got several towers and votive candle holders and different shaped stones, varying sizes. And so that's pretty much what's in there. Plus, like Chantel was saying, the random one that I feel I need. Right. They don't always make it on my nightstand because the cats think it's really fun to paw them off in the middle of the night. So they have found their way into my bed, on the floor, under the bed. But, yeah, I pull in sort of randomly what I need, but always in their places, and they get moved. They actually get rotated to the window to get the moonlight. So I have enough to rotate them out so I'm never unprotected while my stones are recharging.
That's perfect.
In the moonlight.
Yeah, I recently got some more stones and put them on the windowsill in the room where I do my meditating so that they could get cleared and charged in the sun. And what I found is that I ended up leaving them there, and I will grab one in the morning, put it in my pocket, have it with me all day. I come home in the evening and I put it right back on the windowsill so it will get, you know, cleared off again. And so, you know, I need to take them off of there because there are some stones that are not meant to be
right in the sun,
in the sun
all the time.
All the time. Yeah. So breaking some rules there. So Yeah, crystals for sure. We love, and you know, obviously, because we're going to talk a lot about crystals in all of these episodes.
Oh yeah, I'm totally a crystal whore.
Yeah. So all that to say, you guys, protect yourself. Make sure that you are surrounded by good energy. If you're feeling off, take notice, do something about it. Make your soul happy. Get out in the sunshine. Let the sunshine burn that crap off, because it will burn it off. Get out in the full moon. Start journaling. I mean, there's so much stuff that you can do. If you're suddenly having some bad dreams or negative thoughts or just feeling crappy, do something. Smudge your home. Smudge yourself. Laugh. Find something to laugh about. You know, life is way too short to go through it getting attacked and being miserable. It's not worth it.
Amen.
100%.
All right. On that note, thank you for spending this time with us. Love and light to one and all, and we'll see you next time. Good night.
Good night.